There are words that Benjamin Franklin would say at the Constitutional Convention that would be the catalyst for our nation as we know it today. We're going to talk about that. We have Arch Hunter joining us, who is from Marple Newtown, teacher of history. You didn't think you'd be getting a history lesson this morning, but we bring it to you because that's how good we are here at 1180 WFYL, because we are working for your liberty. It's a new day, and you could call in at 610-539-TALK if you have a question or would just like to listen. Then, thank you very much for listening, and we invite you to. Michael Evans here as well, not doing the teaching, more of doing the asking and the listening this morning. Arch, it's wonderful to have you, and thank you for being on the program. And thank you for, as well, listening, you who are joining us. Now, what are these words? What did Benjamin Franklin say at the beginning of the convention?
Well, before I answer that, Michael, I'd like to make another statement. Our Constitution does not guarantee us rights. The Constitution of the United States does not guarantee us rights. The Constitution of the United States protects our rights, because our rights come from God, and our founders believed that our rights are from God. And what our founders did with the uniqueness of this document was to protect the rights of us from a powerful government who was going to take those rights from us. That is totally opposite of any doctrine or any statement, any constitution, any document that governed before us. Our Constitution does not guarantee us rights. Our Constitution was created to protect our rights and protect our rights from the bureaucracy of a strong, powerful government who would incrementally take those rights away. That's a total opposite concept to most thinking. And when we look at that, we see that in the Declaration, we see that in the Constitution, we see that what our founding fathers did, Michael, was that they limited the power of our government on its people. Every government before ours did the opposite. The government limited the rights of the people. Our Constitution was created to protect the rights of our people, to give us as much freedom as we could possibly have with order in our country.
You have taught, and I said this earlier, but for 22 years in the school system in history, and you have found, and this is a very provocative statement, you have found that the situation has gotten better in our schools. And we have to acknowledge that, those of us who may be gnashing and wailing in the streets at the situation of our school system or even the nation, that we have to acknowledge that there is some good being done, that generations who are coming up, and the good which you cited, is that they are hungry to learn this. They are hungry to learn this history of our nation. So tell me now about the convention. It's starting. You told me about how the men who were there were young, for the most part. The only two who were advanced in years were Benjamin Franklin and
Roger Sherman.
Roger Sherman. Thank you for helping me out there. I don't know why, but I had Rushmore or something in my head. I go, that's not right. Sherman, thank you. So tell me now, the influence of the old men and the young men.
Franklin was given the honor of speaking because he was the oldest. And actually, he was probably the most known around the world from our country, Franklin and George Washington. And because Franklin was now the oldest, he was given the opportunity to speak first. And what he did was he encouraged the convention to be opened with clergy local clergy in each session praying and asking God for wisdom. And as most youth do, they're more concerned about getting something done than taking the time to do it right. And Franklin was immediately almost ignored in his suggestion about asking God for the wisdom in this magnificent process that they were embarking on. And for weeks, the convention broke down into very hotly debated discussions. And oftentimes, there was not a lot of men in the convention meetings because of these hotly debated discussions that they were having. Convention almost fell apart. It came very close to falling apart, and everybody simply going home. And that would have been a major disaster for our young country. Franklin then suggested again the same thing. And he said, if God so clothes the birds of the air and takes care of every blade of grass, how much more is he concerned about the freedom of mankind? We need to seek the Almighty for wisdom. And the second time, it was rejected again. They broke up for 10 days. They came back. Interestingly, for those 10 days that they went on hiatus, George Washington, Gouverneur Morris, where did they go? They came out to Valley Forge. And you imagine all those years later, Washington coming back to Valley Forge years later after the Revolution, seeing what had now transpired at Valley Forge and contemplating what was really going to be, you know, the future of this young nation. When convention came back together, there was still the compromises going on, the Virginia plan, the New Jersey plan, the different plans of could we have some sort of an agreement of how we're going to put this together. And Franklin suggested again, after several days of discussion, let's all take a day, let's go back to our rooms, let's go back to where we're living, contemplate, be in prayer, understand, try to come to ask God the Almighty for wisdom, and come back together. And when they did, that's where the convention finally agreed to the Sherman Compromise of the two houses, the legislative branch, the executive branch, the judicial branch, and that was really the founding for what we now know as our Constitution.
Fascinating. Arch Hunter joining us this morning, and it is a pleasure to have you on, sir, and thank you for the lesson, and thank you for the information. I find it ironic that a nation that was founded on not guaranteeing rights or establishing rights, but protecting rights in which they believed were already established by none other than a higher power, being God, that a nation that was born in a convention that was determining what is going to be the nuts and bolts of liberty and freedom that is only based in this higher power, and which came out of prayer from a majority of men who were church attending Christians, that came out after only a call to prayer by Benjamin Franklin, that established a constitution with Christian laws and Christian governance, if you will, that now this first nation in the history of the world to truly have a democratic republic, as from you as our historian here, Arch, that now we see scripture coming to light where man is turning the tables and where this nation started with God at the top, Now, as the first true Democratic Republic in history, we are looking at Scripture coming true, where man is now making himself God, who is subverting that original order, and who is becoming the Babylon of our time. Fascinating, though, the history there and the background, especially with Benjamin Franklin, most fascinating.
And Thomas Jefferson didn't believe the Constitution went far enough. He didn't think it was clear enough. He didn't think that it was specific enough. So it was Jefferson who really was extremely influential in even defining our rights even clearer, which was the Bill of Rights. And Jefferson was the one who really was adamant that they weren't clear enough, they weren't defined well enough, even though a lot of our founders thought they were. Jefferson believed that we needed to be even more specific in the understanding of that.
For those who do not believe that we had a Christian beginning in this nation, the history, I don't write it, and Arch doesn't write it.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. Candidates and politicians are fond of saying that our children are our future, only to then proceed to saddle them with unimaginable debt, thanks to out-of-control spending and massive government waste. I wish I had an instant solution for that, but I don't. But here at Pennsylvania Family Institute, we take seriously our commitment to the next generation. And one way we show it is with our City on the Hill Youth Leadership and Worldview Camp, held the last full week of July each summer. It's a life-changing week that helps teens discover and guide their God-given leadership skills for their own good and for the benefit of others. This year, we've got our best lineup of speakers ever, and we still have space for a few more high school teens to come. So don't let your high schooler miss it. For details, go to pafamily.org or call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1. That's 1-800-FAMILY-1.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
One bullet grazed his elbow, but a second lodged in the back of President James Garfield, who was shot this day, July 2nd, 1881, as he waited in the Washington train station. He had been in office 4 months. Though not wounded seriously, unsterile medical practices caused him to die within 2 months. A distinguished Civil War major, James Garfield was also a college president and a preacher for the Disciples of Christ. He said, "If the next century does not find us a great nation, it will be because those who represent the morality of the nation do not aid in controlling the political forces."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
When a nation embraces evil and rejects good, when evildoers are commended while Christians are maligned, it's time to understand the reason. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 1 that people once knowing the truth of God, experiencing the blessing of God, and who through science and technology uncover the mysteries of creation but then reject the truth and refuse to give God the glory, God will wipe his hands of these people and remove his mercy from them. He will give them up to general sexual perversion, then to deviant sexual attractions, including homosexuality, then to a reprobate mind, so that they not only can do all the evil they want, but also experience all the dire consequences of their sin. I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network, saying that rejecting God and His truth is fatal. For me, I prefer to glorify God, thank Him for all He's done, and be blessed by Him. How about you?
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
Arch Hunter joins us. If you're listening, thank you so much. And that is the history that we have been talking about has been brought to you by Arch Hunter, who's joining us, who's taught at Marple Newtown School for 20 years. And Michael Evans here, you're listening to 1180 WFYL. It's a new day. Talking about the Constitution and talking about the founders. And we were talking specifically regarding Benjamin Franklin and his call to prayer with the Constitution. But you wanted to talk about Sherman as well. These are the two elderly men, because most of the men in the convention were younger. Now, the reason that we're talking about this, the reason as to why we already established, and this is something I wasn't even thinking of, but that history is the study of human behavior. We certainly can glean, we certainly can learn for our own time human behavior, the purpose of this. But the purpose is also something greater too. Not I or you, Arch, are writing history. We're not writing it to be one way so that we can merely purport our views. Some people may accuse us of that, let them do, but the truth stands for itself. And these are words that the founders uttered themselves, like Benjamin Franklin, which I'm sure is documented. I actually asked you if you had the words. You said you probably had them somewhere. Put you on the spot there a little bit when we were off of the air. But we are not writing history. We are merely telling the truth of what happened. So tell us about Sherman.
Sherman is probably the founding father that is least known of all the major players at the convention, though Sherman was the one who came up with the compromise, and that's why Connecticut is called the Constitution State, because Sherman was from Connecticut. We look at Sherman's background. Now, there was a committee of five that was put together: Franklin, John Adams, Robert Livingston, Thomas Jefferson, and Roger Sherman. And Sherman is the one who, Michael, in the past several weeks, has caught my attention as I began to look more and more and more at Sherman's background. If we look at just standard history, we come up with, Sherman came up with the compromise of what we now have as our Constitution. You dig down underneath, you peel off the layers of the onion, so to speak, and you look at the background of Roger Sherman. You look at his life, and I've been extremely impressed with, one, his faith, two, his consistency in his character on the public life and in his private life, the consistency of his life of ongoing generations, where three of his grandsons were senators, Sherman's theology background, when later on in life he wrote a book about piety that we should have at our communion services at the Lord's Supper. Many of the founding fathers called Sherman the old Puritan because of his religious beliefs and his consistency in his religious beliefs. Thomas Jefferson oftentimes had said, when he looked at Sherman, he would say, "That is Mr. Sherman. I have never known Roger Sherman to say anything foolish in his life." Here is a man who was married. His first wife died. He was married a second time. Roger Sherman, by the way, had the most kids of any of our founding fathers, 15.
I could not begin to imagine 15 children.
My wife and I have twin boys. That was hard enough. 15. But Roger Sherman, as a believer, as a man who believed in the Christian principles of piety and consistency in that, we see throughout his life who he was, what he believed, that the following of that in his family and throughout his life. Sherman had tremendous respect from the other founding fathers in his consistency, in his personality, as far as his Christian values were not fake, but they all went out all through every aspect and area of his life. He is the only two of our founding fathers who signed every founding document. Robert Morris and Roger Sherman. He also served in all three branches of our government. He was a representative, he was a senator, and then later on in life, he was also on the Supreme Court of Connecticut. And it's all because of the character of Roger Sherman and his consistency in his religious beliefs to be Christ-like in his life, and how that just exhumed throughout his whole life.
Being one of the founding fathers, but also him in particular, being the father, some would say, and historically, it is certainly a fact that he was a main orchestrator of the Constitution as we know it, because of the Sherman Compromise. Thank you so much for talking to us about this history. This has been wonderfully educational, and we need it because of what we see happening today. If we know our foundations and where we came from, we can know where we're going. Arch Hunter, thank you so much for joining us on the program today.
Thank you. Thomas Jefferson said that democracy will fail if our citizens are unknowledgeable and apathetic.
Let us pray that that will not be the case. And let us see what God has in store for us as a nation, then I say. Now, it is time, as we wrap up the program today, I am ready. Are you ready? It is time for our daily facepalm. Well, there was an interesting incident that happened in Roosevelt, Utah. This article comes from mirror.co.uk. I don't know what it is about these United Kingdom websites, but they always find the most interesting stories that happen on our own shores. I guess we're too embarrassed to publish them, but he had been released from a kennel three times in recent weeks, a dog by the name of Maya. So they set up a camera to figure out what happened. And there was a man crawling around in the garden, and I, for whatever reason, we can only speculate, but apparently he was partially nude and could be seen opening the pit bull's cage. Now, for some reason, he thought that maybe that the pet just needed to be let out, and that was his excuse for being there. If you're looking for some kind of commentary or snappy comeback on this one, I don't have it. Not for this one. But hopefully you enjoyed it today, though, as we wrap up the program here. That's your daily facepalm today, because he thought that this dog, quote, needed let out to run, which does not even make grammatical sense, let alone any kind of common sense. Thank you for listening to the program today. It's a new day on 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty. This is Mike Levin saying, no matter what happens today, tomorrow, or the next, Jesus Christ is Lord. And no matter how dark things may get, or even if good news comes tomorrow, let us never forget Jesus Christ is Lord over all. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week, 7 to 9.
Have you checked out our podcast on our WFYL homepage? Did you know you could stream us anytime, night or day, 24/7 at 1180WFYL.com? If you like what you hear on WFYL, please email us at info@1180WFYL.com to let us know.